Taste the goods.
Just in case you need to cold open still.
We don't ever have to. If it's not Mission Impossible related, keep it to yourself.
I was say, I really thought you were about to say we never have to say that again.
Oh, no, because even if I say that.
I was about to correct you.
Even if I say that, you're going to say it again. So
we have a whole series of films. The first ever, never seen that'll ever be finished.
There's still time to fail and not cross the finish line. We have a couple movies left to go still. We're not done yet.
That's true, but that wouldn't be on me, is I guess my point. This would be a failing on you.
Yeah.
You have two movies left to go. You guys can manage this. You made a promise to the listeners.
I don't know. Brian is like real into this whole tasting the good thing.
Not the tasting the good stuff. I'm into the movies. That whole phrase can die a fiery death. I don't need to ever hear it again.
No, I'm going to get you like a photo of you like holding like all the Mission Impossible films and you're wearing a shirt that says like tasting the goods.
Yeah, good luck with that. If you have to get me to wear something like that, I expect
No. I'm gonna
be photoshopped.
Or a drawing.
Okay. Just a stick figure with a shirt on it with an arrow saying this is Brian.
Pay someone to draw you holding these films or something.
Oh, I can't wait to see this commission.
It's gonna say tasting the goods. And then it's gonna be like Tom Cruise making like a kissy face, but like a really big faced one, like a caricature of his face.
You know what? Now I kind of want it. I want to see Ian's like anime artist that he commissions to make this poster. I just want to see how you describe this to said person. This is what I want you to draw. This is what the guy looks like. Put six Mission Impossible movies in his arms. That somehow you can still see the shirt.
Well, I figured you'd be like they'd be. Like, you know how
I'm juggling
that? Well, that, or there's that image of SpongeBob with, like, the rainbow going in his hands. But instead of a rainbow, it's Mission Impossible films.
You know what? The more we're talking about this, the more I kind of want it. Welcome to another episode of Bright Guys Super Friends. I'm your host, Brian Leving. Joining me for this episode is Mike Bradley.
My face hurts a little bit right now. It's all right.
And Ian Leinick.
Peacock power! I got the power of the peacock flowing in my veins!
All right.
Sometimes you get so loud that your microphone just loses you.
Yeah, the Discord call does not like how loud that you get for some of these intros.
It works in the recording, though, so it's fine.
It does. I got to lower you down like 20 decibels, but it's fine. We'll get it.
No, you don't.
You'd be surprised. We're here to just kind of, I guess, shoot the shit with each other since we haven't been doing this for a while. So we're going to see what we've been up to entertainment-wise. I know you're probably thinking there's plenty of other topics we could be covering, and you'd be correct. But I'm here to disappoint you once again with three of us as we just ask each other this one simple question. What's up with you? So we've done this kind of thing before. It's a little bit more of like a freeform discussion just to see what we've been watching, playing, maybe even reading. Try to get some thoughts, opinions, recommendations, that kind of thing. So, you know, that being said, we will all be doing this spoiler free. These are intended to be not like a specialized review or anything like that. It's just a conversation to see what we're getting through and, you know, when we're not on the podcast, what we've been up to. And hopefully anybody that listens to this will find something else to check out too, whether it's, you know, just listen to the episode or maybe you get some recommendations that we like and check out some other content and see what's out there. So we're just going to go around the horn here and see what we want to talk about. So Mike, I think you're up first. So what do you want to catch us up on?
I think first we had been discussing before the show about podcasts that we've been listening to.
Oh yeah.
Lately, for myself, for a while now, but we've never talked about it, I've been listening to one called Face Jam.
Okay, I think I've heard of that one.
Michael Jones, Jordan Sweers, and Eric Bedore with Rooster Teeth.
Okay.
And basically, what they just go around to whatever fast food place has the newest, like, special crazy menu item. They try it out, and they talk to you about it.
Oh, I think you did tell me, but I think I remember you bringing that up, I think, before. I don't know if we talked about it on the show or if it was like pre or post something we
talked
about.
Yeah, I'm sure
I've
mentioned
it. But I think it's come up.
It's a lot of dumb fun that, you know, people send them in different weird snacks sometimes, and they'll just have what they call like a snack attack where they rate those as well.
Is it a video podcast or just audio?
They have done, I think, like two or three live things for like Extra Life and some of the other charity things that they do. But for the most part, it is an audio thing.
Okay.
And they also have a second offshoot podcast from the first called Spittin' Silly, which is, it's really just the same fucking thing as the normal show.
Yeah.
But it's a shorter format. But it's not the same content, you know what I mean? But it's the same format and discussion.
Which seems to me like there isn't one.
Well, no, they'll talk about like weird facts about the restaurant or stories that have happened at the place, and then they'll talk about where the recipe came from. And
okay, so not like, oh, so there was 5 years ago there was a shooting here at this Wendy's we went to. It's more like weird things that happens to like Wendy's in general. It's not like, or
well,
like,
no, they'll have like,
this is the Taco Bell I lost my virginity at before prom.
I remember one specifically, they talked about a guy that was in an Arby's that got burned by the urinal because somehow like steaming water burst out of the urinal and got burned. They talk about like the whole lawsuit and everything that went on with that. So sometimes it is kind of like more localized events that they might discuss. Really just kind of depends what they have to work with, you know? But it's a lot of fun to listen to. It's a very easy listen. And also, I listened to one called Fuckface. There's not really any particular direction of topic on Fuckface, but for older millennials and younger Gen X folks, it kind of hits that, scratches the itch of like the discussion around some of the silly shit that I feel like I discussed when I was talking to high school friends. Just dumb. They've had several long discussions about Don Zimmer. Why? Who the fuck? He was a baseball manager that was classically unathletic. Like, he looked like Don Rickles, but badder. But they've had several discussions of that. They'll go back and they'll find like old boxes of baseball cards, and instead of having Pokemon card openings, they'll be looking for Don Zimmer cards.
Nice.
Silly shit like that. That's Jeff Ramsey, Gavin Free, and Andrew Panton.
Some more Rooster Teeth guys.
Yeah, yeah. And it's really the only place you get Jeff and Gavin in anything anymore. So,
okay.
It's kind of good to see them around. I'll move on to what I'm reading. I have a visual aid for you guys, since Brian, you may not be familiar with this. This is Frank Frazetta's Death Dealer.
Oh, no, I'm not familiar with that.
First issue graphic novel that they've released. There's, I think, 7 current issues of the comic out. This is the first 5 collected. I'm just kind of wait for the next trade paperback to get the next one.
Okay.
Who's the publisher?
Incendium is the one that's publishing it.
I've never heard of them.
Honestly, I feel like it is mostly done by the Frazetta Museum. Okay. With Frank Frazetta's art. Because that's who I had to order it through, and I couldn't find it anywhere else. So I think they're just kind of sending out what they want published. Cool thing to note, this graphic novel is based upon actual novels written in the mid-90s by Glenn Danzig. If you're unfamiliar with Glenn Danzig...
Danzig? Like Danzig?
Of Danzig and the lead singer...
Of Danzig!
Of the Misfits as well, if you're unfamiliar with that. He wrote 4 novels based on Frank Frazetta's art. So, like, I want to say he originally did the art for the character in the early 80s. And Glenn Danzig was such a huge fan of it, he wanted to write novels based on it. And so he did. Nice. I have not read them, but this is based, the story is based upon that.
Do you listen to Danzig when you read it?
No, it's a little distracting, but it would be fitting. You know what I mean? It's very sword and sorcery type stuff.
So instrumental dancing would work.
Really well. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
He's got my favorite guest appearance on Aqua Teen Hunger Force. Now, this guy with the museum, it's run by his, like, kids, right? He's, like, a pretty big, like, I don't know if pop art's the right word. Maybe pulp art is more accurate. But he's, like, a big-time, like, I don't want to say, like, completely sexual fantasy writer, but, like, he has those, like, I was thinking of the original poster for the Conan the Barbarian movie, where it's, like, the woman hanging on, like, Conan's legs. Like, that's what I think of. If this is the same guy, I think it is.
Yes. Yeah. Their website is actually known as Frazetta Girls. He's known for that mm-hmm. kind of thing. He's the guy that invented Vampirella. Like, that's his creation. Okay.
So if I'm right, before the show, we were talking about podcasts, and I mentioned the comedy website 1900 Hot Dog. They have free articles for, I think, 2021 or 2022. They wrote an article about the museum.
Really?
Yeah. That they went there, and like his like descendants run it, and they're kind of shitheads.
Oh, really?
Like, not like full on. It's just like, they sometimes would say stuff, you're like, you shouldn't say that in front of people in the museum. You know, stuff like that, or they're just not, obviously not as gifted as their father. Stuff like that.
Yeah, Frank Frazetta, for people who don't know, is widely regarded maybe as the best fantasy artist there ever was. Potentially. I'm sure there's people out there that know fantasy art better that might argue otherwise, but I mean... his highest selling piece was like $5.5 million somebody paid for it. Jeez. So he is a significant artist.
He's like the guy, if you know of like the magazine, like Heavy Metal, that the movie's based that magazine. Yeah. If you think of like that kind of art, or like the Fangoria, like that art, that's him. Like that's what I think of, he's him.
Yeah, he did a lot of like the original Conan the Barbarian art. He created Vampirella. He created the Death Dealer. He actually did a lot of art for, he also does like sci-fi, like he has a lot of art that he did for Battlestar Galactica, as well. And he also, for the band Tool, did album art for them, I believe only once, may have been more than once though. But very cool to guy look into,
was it existing art then? I don't know if he's alive or not.
No, Frank Frazetta has been dead for like 10 years. That's what I
thought. So then is they took existing art and put, or is it a new artist adapting the Danzig story?
It's a new artist adapting the story that's like, I guess, commissioned by the people at the Frazetta Museum.
And it's in like that style?
I mean, I can just show you guys. The listeners won't be able to see, but just a random page. I can't see what I'm showing you because it's in front of my face, but it's...
Yeah, that's basically 300.
Yeah, it's similar. Like
that's shirtless, man.
Well, the idea of the comic is he was like a warrior that came into possession of a helmet that turns out it's possessed, and it can basically turn him into a superhero when he needs it to, but when it happens, the helmet gets control of what happens. So if he needs to really kill, but the helmet just really wants to kill everything in sight, and it's like talking to him in his head, telling him like, oh, just say the phrase, and we'll just kill this motherfucker. And it's like, that's literally kind of what it says. I'm sorry, you know, I don't, but it's.
Yeah, please apologize kind of wild. For swearing on this podcast.
I'm just being honest. But yeah, it's a really cool thing to check out if you're into that kind of thing at all.
Nice.
Very interesting story. I mentioned to you guys that there's actually one of the two things I'm watching. I'm sure Brian will talk about the other one, which is The Mandalorian. I'll leave that for Brian, because I'm sure that's on his.
Yeah, it is.
The other thing I just started is Cyberpunk Edgerunners, which so far I'm 3 episodes in. It's been pretty damn good.
I know Ian has recommended that to me a while ago, and I never actually got around to it yet. It's on my backlog of stuff that I probably should watch, but I just haven't.
It's probably the best anime I watched last year. It perfectly captures the feel of the games, and I think just the general cyberpunk-iness. But like, they literally use like stuff from the game for like overlays, and you know, like what you would do, like I'm activating my hacking or whatever.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's literally lifted from the code or whatever, like, but it's like exactly the same, and it felt so nice to be in that world again. And even without Keanu, it's such a great fucking world.
That's why it drove sales for the game, right? Like, sales for that game jumped after that show
they
came
did,
out.
Yeah.
And I feel like I noticed that almost immediately because, you know, the main character of the show, you get a look at their apartment inside and it's like, that's like the exact apartment I was in the game for myself. That was my apartment. So it's like, are we living in the same damn like apartment building as our character did from the game? That's awesome.
And then you also realize, oh, it probably just means that all
they made a thousand
Night City look like that.
Could be.
Well, did they
Cyberpunk?
I thought they were doing Edgerunners DLC for Cyberpunk. Did they do that already, or is it still coming?
It was just cosmetic.
Okay.
There was like two or three pieces of cosmetic DLC. That was it.
Gotcha. Okay.
You can. It's so, like the main character's name's David.
Mm-hmm.
You get like his jacket, and I think there was one other article of clothing. I forget whose it was. Probably Lucy, who's the main female in the. Lucy, right? Yeah, the main woman protagonist. I think they released an outfit for her too. But those gotcha. Yeah came out like day and date. I think with the first episode.
Okay.
So have you played through Cyberpunk, Brian?
No, that's another game that's probably on my back catalog that I need to get to that okay. I haven't.
Well, you gotta wait for the DLC to come out this summer anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that. I'm kind of planning another playthrough because it's been a few years. You know, like it, whenever that came out.
You know, we were talking about it, you know, at one of the E3s or whatever when it was announced and it looked like the greatest fucking thing. And then it had such a botchy launch that I was like, I'm going to stay away from it for a while. And then it sort of had a comeback with the show and they've patched it enough that it seemed like it was playable and came like had a second life. I've had every intention to go back to it. It's just one of those things where, and I've talked about it all the time on the show. It's like how big my content backlog is that it's just difficult for me to pick and choose where I'm going to play this time and I'm going to try this now, and it's just everything just kind of sits there. So I have every intention to get there, I just don't know how soon.
That's fair. I'll move us along as well, since we're at video games here. I'll move on to my last category here. One, it's just a few days away, we're getting a Resident Evil 4 remake. I know I'm not doing
it
yet.
That soon? Okay.
Yeah, it's the 24th, like it's next Friday.
Nice. Okay,
so really looking forward to that. Can't wait to play it. One of my top five games of all time getting remade and made better. I'm really excited for that. But I mean, the only thing I've been playing is Destiny. You know, Lightfall came out on the 28th of February, and I've just been playing that with most of my time.
I had that on my list too, because I was going to pick your brain about that, because I didn't know how you guys felt about it. Well, I know Ian, I think, bailed on Destiny, so I don't know if he has anything to input, but.
Well, I mean, I stopped playing midway through the last season of Beyond
White. Okay.
So you didn't play Witch Queen at all?
No, sorry, I meant Witch Queen.
Oh, okay.
Second to last season.
So it's
of
been
Witch
like
Queen.
6 to 8 months since you've played then.
Yeah. I had to reinstall Windows, never reinstall Destiny.
Okay. Well, I'll let you pick my brain then, Brian. Since
well, I know like you're more the lore guy. That I played through the campaign, and that was probably about
spoilers!
As far as I got right now. Well, it's just more that like I don't understand anything that kind of like we can as vaguely, I guess, as you can talk about it. But like I really didn't give a shit of anything that was going on in the story. I thought Witch Queen's story was a lot better. Beyond Light, I think, held me for a good while. This story just felt very lackluster to me, and I'm hoping the new abilities and the new environments and whatever else they throw in here is going to keep my attention. But the story, I don't think, did it for me.
So everything but the narrative behind that story, I loved.
Okay.
I loved, you know, the combat they put you through, the environments, the new abilities. You know, the narrative behind this story... They're, you know, Bungie has said that it's going to be more explained throughout the course of this year in the seasonal stories that we get with each seasonal content drop. And I'm like, okay, but that you still tried to tell this complete story with Lightfall, and it's not.
Yeah.
People don't want to wait a year for the story. They paid $60-some for a story.
Yeah.
And it's, I think another issue that's hurting it from what I've heard is, you know, half the campaign is a Strand tutorial. And yes. Not even the fun kind, directed by Hideo Kojima.
Well, what I can say about that is this expansion, even though Bungie never marketed it that way because they'd be stupid, this was a fill-in so they could finish the last year. This was supposed to be the last year of this version of Destiny. And Lightfall was going to be where they wrapped everything up and everything happened. And then they knew they weren't going to hit the timeline, so they announced, oh, we're going to have this thing after called The Final Shape. Which ended up kind of being, that's the assumption now is that that's going to be very robust,
yeah.
Especially by comparison to what we got, because this really is a kind of a fill-in, kicking the can down the road kind of thing.
I mean, I'll be interested to see, I guess, what they do with the seasons. Like, some of, depending on the season, some of the seasons hold my attention for a while based on what's going on or what you can get out of them. And maybe you're right. Yeah. I think it was more the narrative of this campaign that did it for me that I didn't really care for, because Destiny has always been good with gunplay and gameplay and how everything, the mechanics work. Like, that's not an issue right. for me. But I, as sort of vaguely as I follow the story, like, I don't dive into the Grimoire cards and, like, all the deep lore that's buried in the game somewhere. I'm just taking it at face value. And for the most right. part, I can follow along with all of that stuff. But yeah, the campaign for Lightfall just didn't. I slogged through it because I want to finish it and get the Strand abilities and all that stuff. But yeah, it just didn't hook me as much as I would have liked.
Yeah, I would say the campaign's like a 5 out of 10.
Yeah.
But the rest of it, Strand itself is incredible.
So maybe I just got to play more with it.
It's a ton of fun. Yeah, if you figure out how to build into it a little bit, start unlocking some of the new guns with perks and stuff you can mess around with.
That's the other thing I got to do is, like, they revamped all their mod systems and gears and all that stuff. So I got to relearn what works with what and try to build my characters back up and figure out how to do it all again. But
or just wait like 2 weeks and copy.
But yeah, by build it up, it's like I'm going to watch somebody on YouTube tell me what to put on my character and stuff.
Text me when you need that.
Plunder the booty.
That's not. But yeah, I think, you know, there's some little tweaks that need to happen.
Yeah.
For things to be just where they should be.
You know, like McPrimaries matter.
Yeah, that's a bit of an issue in certain things right now. They just don't feel like they're hitting the way that they should. Like, it feels like you need to use an exotic primary to get the damage boost from that.
Or double specials.
That's what I did. I completed the day one raid this time around, and that's pretty much all you did through the whole raid was use double specials.
How long did it take?
It made more heavy ammo drop. They gave you 48 hours this time instead of just 24. So we could have finished in probably, I'd say 12-ish hours. We probably could have been done.
Okay.
But we wound up just coming back to it the next day.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I think the team that won the race or whatever, we were not racing, we were exploring, but it was like 2.5 hours.
I was going to say, I thought it was 4 from what I saw. So I was already overestimating, but I thought, just based on timeline of tweets and stuff, it looked like 4 hours to me, but I guess I was wrong.
It's a very... So this is a raid, Brian, honestly, like, you could take your friends into that are casual, not very dedicated players.
Yeah.
And you can just, like, one or two people could just carry the entire team through the raid.
Yeah, okay.
In every encounter, there is either... What is the most that actually have to do things? I guess one encounter requires one very simple mechanic from 4 people. And the rest of it, the most that has to know what's really going on is 2.
Gotcha. Okay.
And the other people can really just clear ads away and let the others do the mechanics. So it's a very, I don't want to say casual friendly, but it is a casual friendly environment in that region.
Okay. I gotcha.
So yeah, I would say Lightfall is 100% worth playing. Just don't expect a great story.
And you'll pick it up on sale is my vote. find it cheap somewhere.
Yeah, it depends how much time you want to dedicate to it, just as always with Destiny. But yeah. I had fun with it. I'm still having fun with it. Strand is, man, it's a lot better than Stasis. Stasis I did not enjoy at all, and I'm absolutely loving Strand.
Nice. So. Okay.
But that would be it for me.
Okay.
That's all I got.
Ian, what do you got on your list? Are we going to care about any of this stuff?
No. So I believe I voted for best, most innovative gameplay of 2022 on the Steam Awards. It was my hentai game of the year.
Of course.
And yesterday, they released their first official DLC, the first of 2 planned DLCs. This one was called the Stray Pubes Update.
Okay.
Where they added stray pubes, so now when the girl has sex with men, their pupes could fall off and end up on her. And they added three, there's passives in the game, like passive traits that give you different stats or something. And there's three new passives related to the stray pubes. On top of that, they also added the option to change her hair color from purple to blonde or black. And previously, you could only choose whether or not, whether or not she had pubes. But now you can completely have her shaven, or have her have a really big bush, or just a little trim.
I love that most people would be ashamed of like really announcing this to the world, and Ian's just like, no, you know what? This is what I'm playing. Fuck you. Like,
and on top of that, right now, by the time you listen to this, it'll be over. But they also have, with this update, brought LoveSense integration. LoveSense are a line of adult sexual toys that are app controlled through Bluetooth to do different things, and you can have those adult sex toys. Now we'll respond to what's happening in the game. Never use the
term adult sex toys again and just leave it as the assumption that they're for adults.
Moist adult sex toys will now respond to what's happening in the game.
The listeners can't see it, but Mike and I are just pretty much shaking our heads with our hands in our face type of
thing. Hands in your crotch.
He didn't even name the game. He didn't even say the name of the game. I don't think we have to.
Did I say Karen's prison
no,
at the top?
No,
K-A-R-R-Y-N, apostrophe S. You spell prison. So, I got real into Paradox games recently. I was playing a lot of Stellaris, but I had gotten a little boxed in. I thought I kept upping the difficulty, and I felt like if I dumped the difficulty anymore, it wouldn't be fun. So I decided to go back to, I had played Crusader Kings 2, so now I'm playing Crusader Kings 3. It's not as much content as 2, because 1, 2 had like a decade of content updates, so obviously it's, you know, less.
Yeah.
But it's still a lot of fun to just go into either the 867 or 1066 and pick a guy and try and do something. Either just, you know, have my little county, try and build up a whole duchy, maybe I want to make an empire.
How old is Crusader Kings 3? Is that a recent release or an older release?
Two or three years.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
2 or 3 years now. It's on Game Pass.
Gotcha. Okay.
I reviewed this for a long time ago when I was doing reviews on YouTube.
You did. I disagreed with it. And
and now he's playing the game, by the way. He disagreed with it then to play the game now.
Well, you gotta wait for the content to come out with Paradox Games. You gotta give them time.
You never said that.
Is Paradox a publisher or something?
And a developer.
Okay, I thought it was like a genre of games, like games that are paradoxes or something like that.
they make grand strategy games. They make, well, they also made City Skylines, but they make this, the Victoria games.
Okay.
European Uralvis, Heart of Iron, Stellaris, Crusader Kings. They make grand strategy games.
They make a lot of them that just aren't Civ.
Okay, I mean, like, yeah, as long as you would have said publisher, developer, or whatever, that's fine. That was my disconnect there.
So another game I've been playing a lot, I'm almost done, I think. I'm at the last dungeon, I'm pretty sure, is Persona 5 Royale. It's pretty fucking great. It's been a nice time, my second Persona game. I'm real excited to be near the end, just because sometimes with these, once you get the combat rules set up, when you're not fighting boss characters, it's a little tedious, just JRPG combat going through menus. Once you kind of have it, it's not as dynamic as, you know, an action game. But I'm still enjoying it. I'm mostly there for the story. So I'm on the last dungeon. I think I'm going to find out what's going to happen. And, you know, I got my illegal girlfriend in the game, so really happy to see what we do on Valentine's Day. It's coming up in about, I think, 10 in-game days. My girlfriend in the game is my teacher. At school. I'm in high school in the game.
I got no words. Sure, whatever. Is that all you got, or you got more stuff?
Recently, I decided that the Oscars were coming up, so how do you celebrate the Oscars? You watch a movie. So I watched Parasite, and I thought Parasite was a horror film. It is not a horror film. It is maybe a thriller. I could see, you could say, suspenseful.
Suspense movie.
A very fun Korean film about a down-on-their-luck Korean family that all they needed was a little piece of the action to get their hopes and dreams back again. It's a terrific film. that I would recommend everyone see. I really loved it.
Okay.
I agree. Parasite was an excellent film. I would, if you haven't seen it yet, you've been living under a rock, but it's pretty incredible.
Yeah, I have. I have not seen it. I know of it, but I haven't seen it.
So for Christmas, I usually get a historical nonfiction book. This year, I've been on a kick of Japanese war crimes recently. So okay. I've read two books about different Japanese war crimes. So this year I mixed it up and we went with the book called King Leopold's Ghost, which is about King Leopold of,
Prussia?
No. Small state in between. Belgium. The King of Belgium. So I don't know if you know about the time period, but it was in the waning days of slavery and just overall colonialism was kind of downtrending.
When was that in Belgium?
This would have been like late 1700s.
Okay.
Well, so, Belgium never had any colonies.
This right, was well, that's why I was saying that in yeah. Belgium, if we were coming to the end of slavery, I don't know when that is.
Well, Belgium, I think it was already illegal. Anyways, this is about King Leopold wanted a colony because everyone's got one. But Belgium, he was basically a figurehead monarch and the second ever monarch for Belgium. It just, we were kind of moving away from that system of government. But he decided, he found a way to convince people that he was bringing Christianity and freedom and goddamn capitalism to the Congo. So everyone was like, oh yeah, let's help out Leopold, make sure he's doing this. But he was actually enslaving a bunch of people and making himself very rich and committing basically a genocide. And a lot of people don't know that that happened in the Congo because of the King of Belgium. That's why it's called King Leopold's Ghost. It's a fantastically interesting book with a lot of, it even has pictures, because one of the things was they would arm the Africans or the Congolese with guns to force them into service in their army. But they were worried they would waste bullets, so every bullet you used, you had to bring back a hand.
Oh,
so there's pictures of children without hands.
Cause oh, God.
Gotta get a hand, you know? I can't go back with not enough hands.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's horrifying. So, on a lighter note, I've been watching Mob Psycho 100, the third season of Mob Psycho. The anime that's based on the manga by one of One Punch Man fame. So, this is obviously the third season of Mob Psycho. Mob's still in high school dealing with his psychic powers. But this time, a cult started up, and the cult leader looks suspiciously like Mob.
So, obviously.
We'll see what happens. I'm really excited. Just kidding, I already finished it. So I'll just spoil it. Then,
did you enjoy it, though?
It was great.
Seal of approval. Okay.
8 out of 10.
Okay.
Next, Boku no Hero My Academia, or My Hero Academia Season 6. It's a shonen show about kids with superpowers, essentially, doing super powerful shit. It's awesome. Everyone should check it out. Big ups. I think, Eric, if you ever get bored of One Piece, here you go. My Hero Academia. That's the one to watch. The original mangaka, the manga author, was inspired by American comic books. So, like, the main character, not the main character, but the main character's idol is named All Might. And he's basically the best. He's the best, but he's also Superman with less powers.
Okay.
It's just more like physical strength Superman, you know? He doesn't have eye beams and shit. And, you know, it's like finishing moves like the Delaware Smash or the Arkansas, like, fledging kick. You know, it's all okay. Fun. It's okay. A really good show, and it's actually having its probably darkest season right now. A lot of character death, a lot of sad things. And there's also, you know, some pervy stuff if you're into that. And of course, I'm also watching Don't Toy With Me, Miss Nagatoro's Second Attack. It is our obviously. Second season of the anime where Nagatoro makes fun of her senpai in the... She's not in the art club, but he is. And they're actually, like, kind of in love with each other, but they won't admit it yet. It's a very fun teasing show, which is really popular, the teasing genre in manga and anime right now. Any questions about any of this?
Senpai? No, I think we're okay.
Can you define senpai?
You're like senior to you, someone that's a higher ranking. So in this case specifically, it's her senpai because he is a junior in high school and she's a freshman. So it's a seniority thing.
Okay.
Continue. I can see Mike writing all these shows down.
And then there's this guy on Twitter I follow from Japan, and I started following him because he posted these really just food pictures. And sometimes it's just like from 7-Eleven, like what he got at the convenience store. I think it's interesting because it's just like, what does the average guy in Japan eat, you know? But then I found out he's not the average guy in Japan. He's a manga artist. And he just came out in English, Outlaw Tamer and his S-Rank Cat Girl. In a fantasy world, this guy is a tamer. And there's this, you get ranked at the guild, your highest rank is S-Rank. And there's this cat girl who's like the best hero ever, and she wants to be tamed by him. So he agrees after she sucks his dick in the first chapter. I wasn't expecting that when I bought it. I didn't know there was going to be sex.
I wasn't expecting that was where the conversation was going to go either.
It's fantastic. I'd recommend buying it.
Did you hear the name of it?
It's great. And then lastly, of course, I am watching All Elite.
Check out of this whole middle section of the podcast.
That's the only reason they tuned in. Shut your face. Power of the Peacock! All Elite Wrestling, it's since the last pay-per-view a couple weeks ago, it's been on fire again. The Elite are bouncing off. You got Don fucking Callis. You got Taz. You got Excalibur. You got Chris Jericho. You got Jon Moxley. It's the wrestling's awesome. I'm trying to convince my friends that we're going to Vegas in May instead of October so we can go to the pay-per-view. One of them
is it. Isn't it coming to Pittsburgh?
I already bought tickets.
There you go. Did you get good ones? You get like ringside.
Those are like three something.
Really?
Yeah. And they weren't, I couldn't even get, that was just like that lower sitting section, but still like 8 rows, 10 rows back. Cause everything else was sold out closer by the time I got there, like 5 minutes after they went on sale, still like $350.
Jeez.
That was before the Ticketmaster fees.
Ouch. When's it coming to Pittsburgh?
So it was like, sometime in April.
Yeah, okay, that's close.
Middle of April, 10th probably, I guess, I don't know.
Nice.
Hey, and that is my list. Karen's Prison, Crusader Kings 3, Persona 5 Royale, Parasite, King Leopold's Ghost, Mob Psycho 100 Season 3, My Hero Academia Season 6, Don't Toy with Me, Miss Nagatoro Second Attack, Hello Teamers, S-Ring Catgirl, AEW. It's in the game.
Nice rundown. I like it. All right, I'll try to see how quickly we get through mine. I've only been watching and playing stuff. I don't really read anything anymore, so I don't have anything for that category. I should read stuff, but I don't. Main thing I just finished this week, finally, was Last of Us just wrapped up, which I thought was phenomenal. If you've played the first game, I think it's pretty damn faithful to the game, which I love the first game. I have not played Part 2. After watching the show, I feel like I need to. Because, you know, we're probably going to wait a couple years before season 2 of the show comes out, and in the meantime I think I'd want to try to experience the game first. I've heard so many mixed things about Part 2 that I feel like I just want to play it and see how I feel, and then see how the show, I guess, interprets that. But yeah, that's got my seal of approval. That was really good. Mike mentioned Mandalorian. It's only 3 episodes in, I think, right now. 3 or 4. Three.
Wait, yesterday was the 3rd. I still haven't actually got to watch that one yet.
It's still a great show. Third episode did some world building, so we'll see what they're setting up and where they're going with that. But I'm just glad to have Mando back. I think that show's awesome.
I'm just confused because where's Gina Carano?
There's one line of dialogue in the first episode this season that says where she went.
Damn it,
I think that's all we're gonna get.
Cut this. I didn't watch it, so I didn't know.
With Mandalorian, I would just say, man, do they know how to really deliver on things that you're like, boy, it'd be cool if they did. Holy shit, they did it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't think that spoils anything. It's just they do a really good job of building something up and then actually delivering on it. So many times you watch some shows and, you know, that delivery on the thing they build up falls flat.
Yeah.
This show has yet to do that. Like, every time through all 3 seasons, I mean, at least so far through the first 2 episodes of this season, every time they build something up, it lives up to it.
Yeah. I had a few complaints, I think, about season 2, and just that there were certain aspects of the show, cameos and whatnot, that I felt like made the world feel smaller. Although I loved them, There's a part of me that just wants Star Wars stuff to start going in different places and different directions and different planets and characters, and just give me other things other than crossing through what I deem as like the mainline Star Wars stuff.
There's only 20 people in Star Wars. Right, they like all
that's
hang out together.
That's the thing. I'd rather not these people. Like, I'd rather not. As much as I love the cameos and I geek out when they happen, like, I can't say they're terrible for the show. But overall, it's the stuff that I'm just kind of like, oh, okay, yeah, I get it. But at the time, I'm losing my shit. But when I stop to think about it, it's like, come on, the galaxy's so fucking big, and everybody just runs into everybody all the time. So I'm sure there will be cameos like that in this season. I have no doubt of that. So I'm hoping I don't feel that way when they happen. And I can still really enjoy them, but like it's more or less we're gonna see what they do with them and when they happen and how they fit, and we'll see how I feel. But I'm a little bit wary of that.
Palpatine returned.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I would not be surprised if they start. Yeah, just to really try to connect it to the sequel trilogy, which I don't think a lot of Star Wars stuff has done. Like there's not a lot of connective tissue there. We know stuff happens. We know a general kind of timeline. There's probably some books in there that try to bridge the gap a little bit, but mainline Star Wars content, shows and stuff like that, have not delved into that a lot, which is a period I'd like to see fleshed out. So maybe this will actually, I don't want to say redeem some of the sequel stuff for me, but maybe some connective tissue will help.
But doesn't that bring in your whole issue of then, like, the cameos from characters that already exist?
I don't think you have to have those characters in there to make that stuff make sense. I think you can see.
Oh, it. I thought they had to like see like Palpatine like mixing his clone vat.
No, I mean like you could see the Empire, like, even if it's just alluding to the First Order, like the remnants of the Empire turning into the First Order. Like, that's the kind of stuff that's general galaxy wide. You don't have to have specific characters in Star Wars, but that's a thing that happens, and I'd like to see that groundswell.
Moff Tarkin has to be the one that like. Doesn't
Moff Tarkin?
I'm just throwing things.
Just random people. Yeah, I mean, they're I'm sure there will be specific Imperial elites.
Thrawn.
I would love to see Thrawn show up and do some stuff. Yes, because there's a possibility of that, but that's a wait and see. That's a cameo that I'm waiting for, that I want.
Yeah, he's never been live action.
Right.
Yeah, like
correct.
That would be a completely new and fun cameo to get, you know, and it's going to set up, like, you know what I mean? It's just like Ahsoka showing up last season to set up the show they're making for Ahsoka.
Yeah.
They wanted to introduce the character and make sure that it's going to fly with everybody and everybody likes how Rosario Dawson's playing it before they go full production on her show.
So, and I wouldn't be surprised if we get another cameo from her this season before her show starts. So, I think all that stuff's fair game.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, other Star Wars stuff, I'm watching Bad Batch Season 2, which I think is midway-ish through right now, which is still really good. I like that show. I like Mando more, but Bad Batch is still really good. Don't sleep on Bad Batch. We talked... we never actually did a review on it. I know we talked about it, but Willow was fucking great. And I'm really pissed off that it got canceled. That's my just bug up my ass
is
right
it
now.
That good? Because Bob Iger said he's only going to release quality shows, and he canceled this one.
Yeah, I get it, but I feel like it could go either way. And it Willow is, the tone of it is kind of odd, but I think the tone of the movie is odd. So I think the show just kind of runs with that.
I feel like it definitely hits its spot.
Yes.
That it's trying to hit, and maybe that's just not what fantasy audiences are looking
and
for.
And yeah,
today.
Just maybe it's not for everybody type of thing, but I loved it. And there were certain characters that I am very sad that we will never see again if they don't do anything else. Bormin specifically, like, I could take a whole
Boromir?
Fucking show. Bormin. That's
Bormir sucks.
Fine, whatever. I love the character. I would watch a whole show of him. And I'm pissed we're not going to get any more. Something else I watched on Netflix was Lockwood & Co., first season of Lockwood & Co., which was from Joe Carnahan, the guy that directed Attack the Block. And I forget what else he's been a part of. But it was like...
The alternate title, the Tetris movie?
I don't know. It's not... but it's about like a world that is overrun by ghosts. Like, there's some sort of event that happens where ghosts are just commonplace.
Yeah.
And it's for whatever reason, teenagers or younger kids have the ability to see and talk to ghosts, but the adults can't. So,
Bruce Willis, that, yes, right?
So you're failing at everything here. So the kids are usually part of some sort of agency that has to hunt and try to subdue the ghosts, but then the mystery of it is like you're trying to figure out, I guess, why this has started, what's going on. Not all those questions are answered in the first season. I'm hoping they get some more seasons. I thought it was pretty good. So if you're curious, I'd say give it a shot. Movie-wise, I'm going to try to rapid-fire some movies. I saw Creed 3. I thought Creed 3 was really good. Out of the three Creed movies, I think Creed 1 is still my favorite, but 3 was still very good. I went and saw...
Creed 3 or Rocky 3?
Creed 3.
Rocky 3.
For me, I think Creed 3.
I haven't seen Creed 3, but I'd probably just...
Because Mr. T.
No, you're not getting that beach hug between Apollo and Rocky in any other movie.
Fair. I saw the Guy Ritchie movie, that Operation Fortune with Jason Statham and Aubrey Plaza and stuff. I went into it wanting like a Man from U.N.C.L.E. vibe, which I think it hit a little bit about that, but I think Man from U.N.C.L.E. still, I like that over this one. This one's not bad. If you're curious, I'd say check it out, but between the two, I'd say watch Man from U.N.C.L.E. We haven't done a review on this. This is another thing we could probably cover on the podcast at some point, but Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania I saw. I enjoyed, I don't know, I've only saw it once. I came out of it a little bit underwhelmed. I think I was really looking forward to it. And there's, you know, I think the previews and stuff make no secret. You're in the quantum realm for the majority of the movie, which is hit or miss for the movie. And I don't know if I like that or didn't like that. I think Jonathan Majors does a really great job in the movie. I'm looking forward to a lot more of him and what happens after that. So it does feel like a little bit of setup just to give us some more Kang for what's coming, but still pretty good. And the only other movie I saw recently was 65, which underwhelmed, if I'm being short with it. I think it had a cool concept. I think there were better ways to make it work. Like I could go through a list of stuff I would have liked to have seen done differently, and I still am adamant that the previews and trailers for this movie ruined what the surprise could have been, and I thought they might have...
No, you're wrong, because they would have to have filmed a different movie.
I was going to say, I thought they would have held it back in the movie a little bit better. They didn't. So
it didn't matter. That's what, yeah. I think it's irrelevant, because you're talking about a different film.
Right. And I...
But the best thing about 65, runtime, like 90 minutes.
It is like, yeah, an hour and a half. It is a quick movie. And I feel like
almost as quick as Avatar.
No, not in any shape or form. I feel like there are definite places in 65 where you could sort of feel like they could have added more there, or maybe they just cut a significant portion of something. They could have,
if, I don't know, the girl could just speak English.
Yeah, that was an unnecessary addition, but yeah, whatever. It's fine. It's
when you only have one character that can communicate to the audience, you can't have a, you know, like a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah. So anyway, I had higher hopes, I think, for that, even though it wasn't like on my list of really anticipated stuff. I think the trailer kind of piqued my interest, and I was hoping it was going to be maybe better than what it was, but it was fine. And the more I'm thinking about it, like the next couple of weeks, there's like for the next month and a half, well, starting at like maybe the end of February into March, there's like a movie every weekend that I'm trying to see. I think Creed was at the beginning of the month. 65 was after that. This week is Shazam. Next week is John Wick. The week after that's the Dungeons and Dragons movie. The week after that is Mario Brothers. So there was shit like every weekend, and I am trying to get to something every weekend. So I'm hoping I can just keep that streak going. At some point, we'll see who sees what and see if we want to talk about any of these on the show. But that's the next couple weeks, I think.
Oh, and also a bonus, saw Cocaine Bear, better than 65.
You could start a rapid fire reviews episode. Yeah, maybe. Like that.
Here's the 10 movies like we saw in the last month.
And if you weren't at all of them, you just skip that one. You just,
yeah, like, you know, actually that might be, considering there's like the hardest thing when we try to do it is like, okay, who saw what and where's the overlap, who can we get on to talk about this stuff. Maybe that's the better way to do it, is if we all just kind of like piecemeal movies at different times, there's some sort of Venn diagram where some of these movies will cross over with all of us. But if there's still like one-off stuff that we just want to talk about real quick and get to, that might not be a bad idea. It could be something we experiment with later. As far as playing, Destiny was a big one for me right now. Like I said, I went through the campaign. We talked about that with Mike's stuff. I don't know. I think I mentioned it with Ian. I don't think he's played it. Mike, have you heard of or played Vampire Survivors?
It's an ass game.
It's a what?
Ass game.
What does that mean? I don't even know.
Auto shooting survival.
Okay. I didn't realize that was an acronym that was being used anywhere.
I feel like I've heard of it, but I don't know much about it.
So I kept hearing about it.
Auto shooting survival.
Yeah. And I wasn't sure if I wanted to try, because I've tried looking at people play it on Twitch, and the few times I've watched it on Twitch, there was like so much going on screen that I didn't know what the fuck was happening or why, that I was like, this looks so stupid. Why do people love this shit? And then I tried it. It's on Game Pass. It's a very small download. It looks like 8-bit stuff, like old school looking kind of Castlevania stuff. And you just start as a character and a timer starts ticking upwards and they give you one ability and then you just start killing waves of things that are coming at you. And as you kill things, they drop these gems. You pick up the gems and you pick up enough gems and you level up your character. And then you pick another ability to stack. And it continues. And it's just kind of however long you last. At 30 minutes, the Grim Reaper shows up and you have to survive against the Grim Reaper. And the replayability is like every time you're collecting coins or getting leveled up stuff, you can then cash out later in between matches to level up these characters and abilities. And it just keeps stacking. So that's stuff that you have permanent unlocks for. So the next time you go in, you're a little bit boosted and you try again. And it's a lot of trial and error. And there's a lot of unlockables in there to unlock different characters and all this stuff. It is the most addictive thing that I've played recently.
So it's a roguelike?
I don't know what... What do you mean by roguelike?
It's a whole genre. Like a video game that's exactly what you're describing. Like you go until you die. No. Have you played Hades?
I haven't played that one. I know of it, but I have not played that one.
You go until you die, and then you start over anew, but you keep some of the abilities, or all, and some, depending on the game, you keep the abilities you earned. So the early parts get easier, and then
yeah.
You keep building abilities over time until you can take down the thing that stopped you last time.
Difference is it's not like the area isn't procedurally generated.
Yeah.
Like, that would be a difference, but it's a roguelite, maybe?
Okay. Yeah, it's but more like a flat map. It's not like a platformer or anything like that. You're just like kind of moving your character up and down, left and right over this flat area.
But there's
area.
Not like obstacles or anything, and the map doesn't necessarily look different like in each run or something. You know what I mean? There's not like a different pathing. Like I would say it's got roguelite elements, but the auto shooting survival is more of what
auto shooting survival roguelite.
Well, then it's your ass.
He just wants to call it an ass game, real bad.
I'm not the one who coined. I didn't coin that.
What do you even mean by auto shooting, though?
So it just shoots. There's no button press. Your ability
like main attack just
goes.
Move. Yeah. Every 3 seconds.
Yeah, the only thing you're really controlling is where your character goes.
You just move.
Okay.
It sounds very simple, and it starts that way.
It sounds like a mobile game.
There's mobile copies of it. There's like probably like 8,000 clones of it now because it's only $3 too.
So, like, it's one of those games where it seems like it's very simple to start. It will stack on itself where you just get into it. I would recommend anybody that has Game Pass or wants to pay a couple. I don't think it's real expensive. Maybe 10 or 15 bucks if you buy the full game.
No, it's like $3 or $5.
Is it that? Okay.
It's like $3. I think they raised the price to $5 when it got out of early access.
Okay. So.
But it's cheap.
It's for me, it's highly recommended. I'd say try it for 30 minutes and see what you think. If you are not hooked on it in 30 minutes, then try something else. But within 30 minutes, I was in and just I couldn't put it down for a good solid couple weeks.
Yeah. So if it doesn't click, Karen's prison.
there's your plan B. Yeah.
You know what? If you're on Game Pass and that doesn't click, just download GoldenEye and play it again.
Or don't.
I mean, I'm ready to start another file. Like, I'm
not... Let the past be the past.
Nah. That it's still more fun in that campaign than any shooter campaign I've played in the last I don't know how long.
I mean, that's probably one we
down
could talk
with
about.
The old flesh, long live the new flesh.
We could probably talk about GoldenEye because I was playing that when it came out. I haven't gone back to it recently, but I'm just blowing past that completely.
Yeah, this is like turtles for boomers.
Just go ahead, Brian.
Because I know Mike wants to talk about GoldenEye. I know he really enjoyed GoldenEye. I have not... I still haven't finished the campaign. I still got to get through that. I was chipping away at it for a while, and I was...
You were just playing straight on 00 Agent?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm stuck at the control level, which was the one that always gave me trouble as a kid, too. Like, that's just... Fuck that level. But surprisingly...
Oh, there's a place you can stand makes that real easy. You can hit the guys when they're coming down the stairs.
Okay.
Like, from the top level above you.
Yeah.
They're coming, they filter down the center staircase. You can just pick them off with the auto aim and GoldenEye from there.
Nice. I don't even think I've got to that part the last couple times I played, but like surprisingly, like on an Xbox controller, I feel like it feels good. Like I was really surprised how it was going to feel compared to what I remembered from N64 era. And I know the controls felt janky then, but that was what we had. So we got used to it, but modern shooters now feel a lot different than what single stick shooters on an N64 controller felt like. And yeah, I think they did a great job with it. I would have liked to have seen some more high def polish to it. Like just some of the text looks still blurry. Like why they couldn't make the text readable.
The Xbox version that they released, that is just the Rare Replays version. That's all it is.
Okay. Well, like so some of the environments look crisper.
Disc, well, I'm saying the Rare Replays disc they released for like 360.
Yeah.
That's what we got.
Okay.
With this. So whatever they did to polish it up for that is what's in this game.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean,
I agree.
Yeah, I had a good time with it.
The controls were the biggest thing, like, because years ago we were at Replay FX and tried to sit down in front of an N64 with GoldenEye loaded up on it, started trying to play the game, and it's like, what? We actually played video games on this stupid controller.
For hours.
Oh, I mean, not even just GoldenEye. Just think of any game. There is no game that like controller is like, oh man, I'm sure glad I have this.
Yeah.
Like maybe Ocarina of Time. Maybe.
Yeah.
That would be about it. But yeah, GoldenEye, you know, I told you, I went through, I got the platinum trophy or whatever you call it.
Oh, yeah.
The
equivalent
of that on Xbox. Which I had to play myself in a bunch of multiplayer matches to finish off, but I said, what the hell, I may as well. And, you know, it really is kind of the granddaddy of first-person shooters for, like, competitive first-person shooter play.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, you can talk about Quake in, you know, the early stuff with Doom all you want, but it became popular with GoldenEye. It
you
became
could just say
everybody.
Console shooter, and I won't, like, look at you weird.
I'm saying...
console shooter.
Sure, but I'm saying it popularized the, you know, the competitive or multiplayer aspect to a first person shooter. It made it widely popular. Everybody was playing. I remember, you know, back then it didn't matter who you were with, whether they were people that were heavy into video games or not, they would pick up and play that. And something low-key about it that doesn't get talked about, the soundtrack for GoldenEye absolutely kills it.
Yeah.
And it is worth listening to on its own anytime.
Yep. I don't know how much you guys want input for this, too, but the last thing I'm obviously playing is Call of Duty. I still cannot get away from Call of Duty. So I don't know if anybody has been sinking time into Warzone or DMZ or The Raid. I did play the first episode of The Raid one time, which I thought was... pretty fun. I think they just put out a second episode raid with this content drop they just did. So I'd like to get through that at some point. Warzone, I don't know how... For as much time as I put into Warzone 1, I am surprised I'm not playing Warzone 2 as much as I did Warzone 1. I don't know what it is about 2. It just doesn't seem like it's hitting me as well as the first one did. DMZ, I kind of like. Straight. What's that?
I was going to say it straight. It sucks. Like, just... Warzone 2 is awful.
It's like, I can tolerate it, but it doesn't grab me like the first one did. I don't know if just because it was new and not new, but like it was a nice change of pace at the time. And that, you know, it came out during COVID, so we were all stuck inside anyway. So that was something that really helped there too. But DMZ is not bad. I've had some enjoyment with DMZ, but it's more, I treat it more for, hey, I want to do these missions. So when people start coming in and killing me as I'm trying to do my missions, I'm just like, fuck you. I'm not worried about you. Just let me do my thing. And like, that's the part that gets frustrating for me, but I realize it's part of the game. So I don't know how I, you know, if I can sort of bitch about that, but that's my main bitch. Anything for Call of Duty, or we'll wrap it up.
Call of Duty has the same problem Halo Infinite has, not enough maps.
Yeah. That's really what,
you're talking about for multiplayer or other modes?
Yes.
Okay.
Multiplayer. Okay. They released, this content drop that happened on March 15th released the first new completely original map to the game 4.5 months after release. Yeah. Not a remake from a previous game. first original map.
And it's going to be the one that actually makes it into competitive play, because Albagra Fortress is just so god-awful to play control. Even the pros get spawn-trapped and stop trying to leave the spawn in Albagra during control, because you can't get out of your spawn.
Jeez.
These are professionals getting spawn-trapped. It's ridiculous. So, you know, what did it for me that put me to, like, just pick up Destiny and just keep going with it and not, like, splitting time?
Yeah.
Because usually I would split time between the two and then play whatever else I wanted. It's just lack of variety. Like, it's the maps. There's a few of them that I think are really good, and some of them are eh, but they're just not enough.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you want to play certain game modes, there's only three or four maps that it loads you into. So yeah,
I gotcha.
Yeah, it's been, I mean, I hope eventually, since this is supposed to be kind of a 2-year COD, they said that, and now they also announced one in November or something again.
Yeah, it sounds like they're going back on the word already and releasing something in November.
Yeah, like, if it's a 2-year COD, maybe once they get enough maps, it'll be worth, like, running back to and being like, yeah, I'll be back in. And it's also, leveling up guns for Warzone kept a lot of people playing multiplayer as well.
Oh, yeah.
And since I'm not playing Warzone at all, I'm not as worried about, you know, being able to tag enemies at 110 meters with an LMG that I had to go and level up and have just right so I could do that, because I don't use them on the maps I'm on because I'm playing multiplayer.
Well, I was even thinking, I heard this complaint about the unlock system, and I don't know if I put two and two together at the time of the game that was released, because they were promoting it like, hey, you know, we have this like unlock tree for weapons where you have to use this weapon, and then you level it up so far, and then you get attachments for this second weapon, and then you level that one up so far, and then you get other attachments. But once these attachments are unlocked, you can use them for any gun. Sounds good in theory, right? So when you finally start making it through the gambit, when you get to some guns, you have attachments for them already. Except you never really think about the people that haven't played the game and say they just started playing the game now with this content drop, and they get a new gun based on the battle pass that you get very early. It's like, man, let me use this. But it's like, oh, you can't use this attachment because you have to level up this gun to level 20. And then level up a next gun to 22, and then this gun to 25 before you can get the one attachment you're looking for this new gun. That's fucking stupid.
It's a very convoluted system. That, you know, like, the other system was more grindy to level everything up.
Yeah.
But this is, you're right, it's dumb. Let me pick the weapon I want to level up and level it up.
Yeah, it's like, I think they accounted for people that played the whole time, but new casual players that just want to pop in and out whenever they feel like it, this system is not good for them.
Or just remove the whole leveling up unlocks attachment system altogether and make it all about the camos.
Yeah.
You know, like, so you can just put whatever attachments you want on to get it optimally working, but you got to do all these challenges if you want the camos.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the attachments give you an advantage over people that don't have them. Sometimes that's a significant advantage.
Yeah.
Screw it. Just let everybody have the attachments, and people will still grind for camos. They will. That's what they do.
Right.
People that are going to do that are going to do it, and people that aren't. I feel like they're not increasing engagement with this system. They're maybe decreasing it even.
Yeah, I feel like they're feeling the hurt. So I'm curious to see what else they do. Although we mentioned, I think before the show, they're putting Shredder in fucking Call of Duty as a download, you know, a character you can buy, a skin or whatever. Sometime with this latest, I don't know when it's coming. I don't think we have a date. We just know sometime in this back half of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's Ian's nightmare. Ninja Turtles are creeping into Call of Duty.
I mean, it'd be cooler if it was Turtles.
Oh, for sure.
Krang.
Yeah.
Let me become like a 12-foot tall dude. Make that the Juggernaut if you're using Shredder or something.
All right. But yeah, that's all I got. So, last call for anything else, or we'll close it down. Nothing. All right. That's it for us. Hopefully you enjoyed the show. Please support us, leave a 5-star rating and review, give us a share on social media, be sure to follow or subscribe to the show. We are on Spotify, iTunes, Google, Anchor, Stitcher, Amazon, hopefully anywhere you're finding podcasts you can find us. Check us out on Facebook, search Bry Guy and Super Friends, or go to facebook.com/BryGuySuperFriends. You can send us questions, comments, topic suggestions, any of that stuff there. Try to email me, I can't even say the email address because it doesn't work anymore. BryGuySuperFriends@gmail.com. I lied. It does work. I just don't check it. Hit us up on Twitter @BGSuperFriends. That I will see. That we will exchange messages for. Feel free to follow me on Twitch. That's Jedi Bri Guy, Jedi with an I, Bri with a Y. Anytime we want to record something live on Twitch, we will do it there. If you want to randomly see me play games here and there randomly, I don't really have a set schedule or anything like that. I will also do it there. And that's it. On behalf of Ian, Mike, and myself, thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next time.